Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to our buddy Brad Nessler, longtime voice of the SEC, and now that CBS is doing the Big Ten, he's calling those games. But not only a vet, man, one of the best guys in the business and a friend of the show. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's going on around college football, Mike. So looking forward to our visit with Ness. And as the season is about to start, man, I said this yesterday, not this Saturday, next Saturday, we got college football.
That's right.
Real games, okay? They matter. They'll go down as a win or a loss, and then let the fun begin. We get into early September, Mike, before Labor Day. We got all those games, including Georgia Tech, getting a chance to play Colorado. By the way, that number 7, I was looking today. Don't judge me. Mm-hmm. Man, I like what I'm hearing about Georgia Tech, guys.
Right?
And look, I don't know what Deion and the Buffs are going to look like. Sorry, Cordell.
They look small.
They do.
Just what I saw in video. It does not look like. But unless they're fast, Carl, small and fast.
Well, they might be.
I guess so.
They might be. But I'm just saying, man. But there's so many games to look forward to. So we'll talk to Ness coming up here in about, as I said, about 15 minutes from now. Also, what's on Day-Day's mind a little bit later on. If you're just joining us, just a very interesting and real heartfelt conversation about what you're feeling. And Mike said to me today, I think this is a gap year, and I don't think we're going to be as good as some people may think we are. And I just. I'm resentful of it. I get it. He may be right, I hate the fact that we invest, all of us,
right?
The time, the merch, the going to these games, the watching them on TV. Some of you have never been to a game. You spend every Sunday watching these damn games. You give the time, and just to say, hey, by the way, we can expect another mediocre year, but you laid out some really good facts. And by the way, there are a lot of people who say, Mike, I don't want to hear this. There are other people saying, you're right on point.
Well, like I said, I've been wrestling with this. I'm not trying to be melodramatic here, but it's something that I've been talking with Carl off the air. And I said, what the hell, man? Why am I, I'm not going to be the hype guy. I've done that too many times. I do get caught up in camp, and I see some things I like. Look, two things will be positive. I love Zachariah Branch. I think he's going to be great. You know, provided we can get the reliable delivery system, get him the rock. There's a lot of good things on this offense. We already know about the guys, the core guys we brought back and re-signed. But it's just, you don't have a quarterback, you don't have it. You don't have a chance. And we got to see when we'll know when we know. It's frustrating. We've aggravated some people who feel that Penix is going to be ironclad. He'll be fine. How do you know that? How? You just like him. You project him. You want him to be your, okay. But we're basing it on facts. The sample size is nothing to give you the confidence that some of you guys have, in my opinion. Tua has been a really solid NFL quarterback who lost his way in Miami, you know? And again, this has nothing to do with the preseason, but granted, he didn't help the argument by looking like crap in that first two series. But now, the reality. Do we have a pass rush? Can we stop the run? The quarterback. When you get questions like that, I think that's going to be hard to hit the over-under of the 6.5 this year.
Real quick from Dwayne Watkins. Appreciate you listening, Dwayne. He says, put him up, see Dukes. That's me on social media. ATL Bell 929. He says, so the Falcons are wasting a year? He says, they better realize the window's closing, and I don't mean Bijan or Drake or Pitts. My window. He says, I've been patiently waiting on a championship since, back in the day. And look, that's what I'm relating to, the fans. There are a lot of people like, man, look, every year I'm giving to this team. I'm not expecting an average year. I'm expecting them to do more than that. But Mike brings up legitimate points. We're going to take many more of your phone calls here along the way. Ness is on the way as well. But right now, we got to talk about what else is going on around the NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1. Falcons getting ready for their joint practices against the Colts. And speaking of the Colts, they reportedly are signing Keenan Allen, Mike. 1 year, $8.3 million deal. But they've got some wide receiver issues.
Old man River. Well, they gave Pierce. Pierce was the first wide receiver to get his deal. And he got like 28 mil. And I think he's got like 1,000 less yards career than Drake London has. And then he got hurt. He's been banged up. And there was questions about him. So, yeah, they needed some help. So they go get a guy that, he'll have a ceiling. But he's a solid rep. Solid vet.
You know what? We've been talking about Michael Penix and his return. Mykael Williams, dog, got hurt last year as well. So today, Kyle Shanahan says week one is a long shot for the defensive end to be out there, but he is progressing well. Sound familiar? This is what we've been saying about Penix and being cleared and ready to play against Pittsburgh. Shanahan today, when asked about, wait, where's Mykael Williams at? Ah, he'll be ready for week one. No, It doesn't feel that way coming from Kyle Shanahan, the coach of the 49ers. So those are just, you know, again, injuries happen at different points in the year and then the recovery time. But I thought that was interesting, Mike, that Shanahan said that, because everybody's like, oh, Mike Williams, he'll be back. He'll be back ready for week one. And now Shanahan's saying he's progressing, but it's a long shot.
Tyler, I butcher this name every time we talk. Is it Tyler Beatus?
Beatus? The center?
The center for the Chargers. They gave him 30 mil. He got hurt today at practice. Cut it off the practice with the Chargers. Ooh. Joint practice with the Chargers and the 49ers, apparently.
And their offensive line just got right.
Right.
Like, that's why a lot of people like the Chargers and Herbert and what that offense can be. And so now you're saying the center. Do we know the extent of the injury?
I'm looking right now. Data, you just sent that via the text. It's Beatish, by the way. Beatish.
Yeah, just curious. Yeah. Like, because if he's hurt, that is a huge loss. They lost both of their right and left tackles last year. And that was the thing. They needed both of them back. They finally do get them both back.
It doesn't say the nature of the injury, because it was multiple players. It was Chargers players and 49ers players. Right. So in the one I sent you guys, just noted who all was
injured.
One
of the linebackers, Kyle Kinnard, wide receiver, Quentin Johnston.
Okay.
A lot of injuries around the league. Yeah.
But real quick, while you're on Justin Herbert or on the Chargers, I sent also earlier this morning, and I thought it was interesting more so just because of our situation where Harbaugh said starters are going to play. Like, they need the reps.
Right.
He's talking about basically the preseason period?
Like their upcoming preseason game. Like,
every coach has a different philosophy. Right. This is why we asked you the poll question yesterday.
Now, again, he's told us, he's on record, Stefanski is saying week 1 and 3 now, that you're not going to see it. So to the fan who's not following what's going on in Indy, but they're going to get work in. They're going to have 2 days of practice and real 11-on-11 against the Chargers. You can't hit the quarterback, but they're going to have that.
Right.
And that'll be, you know, worth, you know, more than what they're going to get from this Saturday night in Indianapolis, basically. But from the fans, it sucks because you're not going to see the starters. Penix is still only good for 7-on-7, and you're not going to see, again, after what we just saw with Jeremiah Love down in Arizona, I don't need Bijan doing anything.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, 14 carries and he hurt himself.
Look,
yeah.
if that happens, Mike, then we are talking about, you know, a less than 6-win team. Because right. That you just don't risk that. Also today, if you're just tuning in, guys, Za'Darius Smith, he worked out for the Falcons yesterday. They do sign him. They're trying to bolster this depleted pass rush. And the terms of the deal, $6 million, 1 year, obviously, this season. But it could be upwards of $8 million with incentives. So a lot of people excited and saying, hey, this is the right move. The Falcons, look, you don't give up on the season. You try to continue to improve.
And again, I'll say for the fifth time, I hope I'm wrong about this, but my spidey sense feels it's going to be a tough season. Unless, you know, look, 16, we drafted some guys. You know, maybe Avion Terrell becomes the guy. Maybe that Kendall Daniels is going to be great. You know, and we get the kind of production we got in 16 from our rookies, and we go real far. But the quarterback thing, it all comes back to, what is this? Who's playing quarterback?
Yeah.
How far is, when does Tua pass the baton to Michael Penix Jr., and how does that work? And does Penix pick it up and like, boom, Pro Bowler Michael Penix. That's the odds on that are a bit long. He's going to probably ramp up in this offense himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you believe it? Do you buy it? And what's the odds of those things playing
out?
The run
defense is still an issue. I mean, we didn't really address the run defense. Now, we picked up Mason Smith for Roro, switch tackles. We brought in some more depth, but you know, we lost Onyemata. Even then, we weren't that great against the run last year.
No, we weren't. It's still a problem, man. Meanwhile, Roger Goodell says that the NFL having teams based outside the U.S. is going to happen. Not this year, but at some point, the quote is, there will be NFL teams outside the USA. I have no doubt about it that this will happen one day. Will he still be commissioner when that happens? That I don't know either. Man, I don't know, Mike. It's our thing. I don't like it. I get going to play games internationally, and that's fun. You're going to go. You know, people are going to make the trips over. Quick hit. You get in. You get out. You eat. You drink. You have fun. But to have a permanent team in Madrid?
Well, that's, you know, for those of a certain age, I'm talking about the movie Rollerball, not the piece of crap that came out like in the 90s, the remake, the number one with James Caan. Jonathan. Data, you ever seen the original Rollerball?
Great movie.
Tonight, Houston takes on Tokyo. I mean, that's where it was at. And that's where Goodell, that's where this thing is going, because obviously more markets and just building the global brand, we get that. Okay, Shad Khan and the Jaguars were linked, you know, for years. They're redoing their stadium. They put some money into their practice facility. They're always the one that everyone says, well, they'd be the one, because they've been playing a lot of games more than any other team over there in England.
Yep.
But then the Players Association gets involved. How do you get taxed? Because over there, they take a bigger bite out of your butt than they do in the USA.
No, it's a great point. It is. It's just something that, you know, again, we keep talking about this. Mike, we were just talking about this because you said, where else could they play? when they had these first international games, everybody's like, oh, it's a fad.
Right.
And now think about it. We got like 9 games overseas.
Hey, it's just growing and growing. And yesterday they talked about Tokyo's coming next, or certainly a Japan-based game is up next.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Hey, a reminder, coverage of football right here on 92.9 The Game's presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years, guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. Want to mention this, too, because Juju Smith got released today.
Juju Smith-Schuster on that beat?
It's just stuff that had to be said.
It needed to be said. It needed to be said.
That's what he said when he talked about being a top five receiver in this league.
2 years ago, he goes on a podcast with a bunch of guys. I love when you hear the hype, man. That's right. Yeah, it needed to be said.
It had to be said.
It needed to be said.
Yeah, you say it.
Now he's looking for a J-O-B.
Yeah, man. He was with the Giants, and they basically are going to sign Najee Harris, and they had to make room. So wide receiver Juju Smith is being released.
Look, he can maybe get some traction at some point. But
need to be said.
Need to look at the man in the mirror.
Need to be said.
I'm looking at the man.
It's just stuff that had to be said.
It needed to be said. So let's say it. Yeah.
I'll take Mercurial Steelers for receivers for 200, Alex.
Coming up, Brad Nessler. What does he think about the state of college football? And is the Big Ten really that damn good? It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. And football season is here, guys. And there is no one better to talk about football. College football, then our buddy Brad Nessler. He joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Ness, man, it's good to talk with you. How's your summer been, man? I know you went on some exotic trip, didn't you?
I did that last year. I didn't do much this year, Carl. We did a lot of short trips, and we did a staycation last week, which was kind of fun. It was just Miss Nancy and I, and did a lot of eating out and not exercising and lake time and pool time, and, you know, it was fun.
Awesome.
Come on. Really? No Costa Rica? No fishing? No. Just kind
of... Well, we went to Barbados for her even-numbered birthday, but that was actually more in the spring.
All right, man. Then now you're up to speed with Ness. And see Ness wearing, like, Bermuda shorts and long socks. He joins us right now to talk about the Big Ten. Who knew when you moved over to the Big Ten you'd be back-to-back-to-back national champs up there, big guy?
I'm taking credit for all three of those, Mike, and... When I went to the Big Ten meetings, everybody kept bringing that up, and I said, hey, it's CBS's arrival. That's what happened. So, yeah, I'll take credit for all of it. But it is pretty amazing, though. You know, Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, at least two of those sound feasible. Last year's didn't even sound real, and it still doesn't sometimes to me.
I agree. And let's talk about Kirk Cignetti real quick. Brad Nessler joining us. Is he as brash in private then the persona he gives off publicly? Because, again, he worked for Nick Saban, and Mike alluded to this, I think, a couple of years ago, you know, when he got there. And Saban was like, you know, you weren't saying all this stuff when you worked for me. It feels like, Ness, that he just kind of says what's on his mind. Is he that same guy privately?
Yeah, he is. He is, and I thought it would change. And he admitted last year a couple of times. He said, you know, some of that I had to have some bravado to make people take notice. And, you know, let the kids and the teammates know that he wasn't going to back down from everybody. But then, you know, after those couple of meetings in private, I would see him do the same thing. So is he like that in private? Maybe not quite as much, but, you know, he's backed it up. So it ain't bragging if you can do it. And so, I mean, when he showed up at the Big Ten meetings this year, totally different than the year before. And, you know, he took his kind of without saying SEC, took his shots at the SEC. And so he's feeling his oats right now. When you're 16-0 and you're on top of the world, you're making $13 million bucks. And this time 3 years ago, you were probably making $1 million, you know, so good for him.
Yeah, he's got a quarterback with a lot of experience from TCU, so here we go. Our old friend Arthur Smith, the former Falcons head coach, is the OC for the Buckeyes. And it just seems like I got a bunch of Buckeye friends. Even when they won the Natty, they weren't happiness because they still couldn't beat Michigan that year. But they're number one, according to the voters. You feel Ohio State's going to be back on top?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out. I'll let you guys know on September 12th about midnight whether or not I think Ohio State's number one or not, because they got to play Texas in week two, and that's no easy task. You know, they have Indiana in the middle of October. They got Oregon at home in a game we have. Michigan at the end of the year. Won't be easy, but, you know, they brought in Matt Patricia last year from the NFL, and that worked out for him on the coordinator side. I'm not going to say anything about Arthur Smith until I see him the first time or I see him against Texas. But they got a lot of talent. And, you know, their wide receiver room is as good as anybody's, even though they lost Carnell Tate to the NFL. Jeremiah Smith's the best player in the country. It's just simple, hands down. Bo Jackson's almost a Heisman candidate in the backfield. Julian Sayin is he's grown up, saw him at the Big Ten meetings, and he's not the baby face he was. He's bigger. He's more mature. He's more of a leader, it seems like. You know, they lost 8 guys off their defense to the NFL. I don't know how they can be better on that side of the ball, but they got a lot of cheese to plug those holes, you know, with the portal. So we'll see how much the money pays off for them. But they're going to be really good. I think Oregon's the best team in the Big Ten. Do I think they'll win the national championship? I don't know, but I picked them to win the Big Ten. So I can't really take Ohio State over Oregon right now. But 1-2, that's good enough.
I agree, and I'm with you. I think this is Oregon's year for them to get there. I think this is his best team, and you know, look, Dan Lanning's done a great job there, and I kind of agree with you. What about Penn State and Matt Campbell? Everybody said, man, you know, they got the right guy. Campbell did a great job where he was, and now you get more resources at Penn State. Well, what's your take on him?
I think it's like the best third choice hire I've ever seen, or I don't know if it was third or fourth, whatever Matt was. But I did, I did Iowa and Iowa State games for a lot of years and have in the past 2 years, in fact. And, I admire what he's done. He's done a lot with not much, more with little. And like you said, now he's going to have more with more. He took 24 guys over there with him, including, you know, Rock the back to his quarterback. So I think they could be kind of a sleeper. I think it's going to take a minute to kind of adjust to, you know, that part of the country for not only the players, but for him and his staff and all that as far as recruiting. But I think they could be, you know, I think they could be upper tier, the Big Ten, but I think it's going to take them a while to adjust.
One of the guys that loves to pop off, and he kind of reminds me of like my Uncle Nick, a guy you really want to have a beer with. I'm talking about Brett Bielema at Illinois, Ness. And, you know, he was popping off to everybody. Well, everybody was popping off. And they've earned the right to chirp, you know, with the back-to-back-to-backs. But is that a team that, you know, is that somebody that you say, you know what, that's an underrated team to fans in the SEC, and that is a tough out, and that's part of a schedule that we underrate in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mike. You know, back-to-back 9-4s is the best I think Illinois has ever done. Mm-hmm. And Brett's, you know this, I think. Brett's a really good friend of mine, and he got off the dais day one up there, and he walked past our interview room, and I said, you just couldn't keep from opening your yap. And he said, what, Ness? What did I do? I said, you just got done saying the SEC is living in 2005. He goes, well, yeah, that's really not. I go, dude, it's already blowing up all over Twitter and all that stuff. And I don't even pay attention. But I said, everybody's telling me, just I heard you say it. And I walked down to this room, and you walk by 5 minutes later, and you go, what'd I do? He's the best. He's the best, and he doesn't care what he says. I think he's got a pretty good team. Losing Luke Altmyer at quarterback, I don't know if he's got the right guy to replace him, but the guy they have coming in from the FCS, I think, is supposed to be good, so we'll see.
So Michigan goes a different route. We're talking with Brad Nessler, guys, longtime college football voice of the SEC. Now he calls Big Ten, and they go a different route with the head coach. I mean, from where they were, obviously Harbaugh won, and you know all the stuff that happened there. But Ness, when they hired him, I was like, this guy's perfect. Winningham, like, that's the perfect guy to go to Michigan and, like, get them on the straight and narrow.
Absolutely. 100%, Carl. I think the same thing. You know, I thought Kyle was maybe just kind of winding it down. It wasn't the most amicable of departures from Utah after all the years he put in there and all the wins he had there. And to get an opportunity at age 67, whatever, 66, 67, whatever he is, to say to his wife and his staff, let's go coach Michigan. You know, what the
right.
heck?
Right.
And he's the perfect dude because it's been such a mess up there. And, you know, the outgoing athletic director and losing Dusty May to the NBA and all of that. The Sharon Moore thing was a travesty and a total mess. Every time I was up there, I'd cringed. It was like, oh, my God, this is such a mess.
Right.
And our boss, David Burson, who's our president and CEO, is a Michigan guy. And he would come to a game occasionally. I said, okay, you got to do something about your alma mater. This is a mess. So, you know, the perfect guy to straighten out a mess is a no BS guy like Kyle. And
right.
He'll set the tone because he'll beat every player in there in the morning, and he'll probably beat the weight and conditioning coach into the weight room because he'll be the first dude there. And I think that's what they really need. Now, will he last, you know, 3 years and say it's time to hang it up? It'll depend on how successful he is probably, but perfect XLR for Michigan to try to get that thing straightened out.
Brad Ness is with us, guys. One of the best in the business, the smooth sounds, and just, you know, a guy's guy. That's why I think you love listening to him. And you lose Gary Danielson, who steps away. Charles Davis fills in. I know you guys will have a great rapport doing your thing. And for guys who don't know, Brad makes his home in Metro Atlanta. So bring it to the SEC, Brad. Kirby, I mean, he runs a tremendously tight ship. He's built a culture at Georgia. Do you feel it's been – is he doing it kind of old school, and this year it's got to culminate with a championship? Because, you know, expectations, again, at Georgia through the roof. But the last couple of years, falling short, getting knocked out of the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I know. The playoffs haven't been good the last 2 years. But, you know, how quickly we forget those back-to-back national titles and all of that. And, you know, top recruiting classes. And he's kind of doing it more that way. I mean, I know they're giving money out too, but not to the extent of maybe the top five teams in the country to bring in portal guys and everything. You know, I think they're going to be really good on defense this year. And almost, you know, Kirby quality defense. They're probably not going to have, you know, five number one draft choices in round one or whatever, but I think they're going to be really good on defense. And, you know, I think Gunner's a really underrated quarterback. I think the transfer coming over from Georgia Tech at wide receiver is going to help. And, you know, I think everybody's worried about their receiving core and all that, but he'll have them right there. And I don't think their schedule is as tough as some of the other ones in the SEC. So, I'd say Georgia and Texas are the two best, and I think Georgia will rise to the top again, and I'm not worried about them at all.
Ness, you've done it all, man. I mean, ESPN, you've called professional football, college football, now this long tenure with CBS. What's changed for you, man, from the broadcast standpoint? Because Mike and I talk about all these guys, and, you know, again, he's a colleague and Tony Romo, and that's been a topic of conversation, but I've always said I still think broadcasters enhance the games. And when I watch college football and I watch you, you make the games better. And what's changed for you since you first started or over the years from your time even at ESPN?
I think, I don't know, Carl, I think trying to make my team look better, you know, look good every week, try to basically make a movie every week. Sometimes it's going to, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, it's not going to sell well, and sometimes it's going to be great. You know, I try to make a good game sound and look good. I try to make a good game sound great. And when I have a great game, I try to get my ass out of the way and let the game just roll.
Right.
You know,
right.
And making Charles look good and Jenny look good is my job, I think, and just being as informative as I can be. I'm filling out some stuff today. I started working a little bit today on my first game, and I pulled out these, you know, legal folders that I started when I was started doing games when I was 18.
Wow.
And I'm doing everything the same way. And some of the young guys look at my charts and they go, what in the world is that? It's like hieroglyphics. I don't even know what you're doing. But yeah. I started writing stuff down and I go, my handwriting's a little shakier, but I still think I'm putting everything in the right spot. So I don't know. There's different ways to look at it. And I think the bad thing that's changed for me in doing college is, I don't mind the players making money. I think that's awesome. But the moving around so much,
yeah.
I used to be able to basically talk about, you know, so-and-so from Buford, Georgia or whatever. And now I say from, he started at Akron and then he went to West Virginia and he's on his fifth school.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, it's kind of hard to keep track of where dudes started and where they're ending up and all that kind of thing. And used to kind of get to know even the players a lot better because you saw them for at least 3 years. Before they moved on to another school or the NFL. And you all even got to know some of their parents and stuff, which was kind of fun. So that part's changed quite a bit. But product on the field, when I'm in the stadium, it's still the same, baby. It's the best.
Right on. Again, calling an Oklahoma game, it's not like calling like a UNLV basketball game with Tarkanian. Anyway, real quick, Brad, before we cut you loose, I hate to be the old guy. I'm not a boomer. I'm Gen Z or Gen X. What are Gen Z's young guys, right, Carl? But people... I'm old school. I hate to see the regular season devalued, and it just seems like we are going to be heading towards the Big Ten wants the 24-game playoff. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, if I was doing some of those playoff games, I'd care more. I think
you still get the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, really. Yeah, my 60th year at the Sun Bowl coming up on New Year's Eve. No, I have done like 11 Sun Bowls. You guys may not know that, right, but I did two of my first stint. So this will be my 12th, I guess. Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to water things down. It's still going to be the same 8 teams that have a chance of winning. It's same with March Madness. Adding more teams is just giving more Power 5 or Power 4 conferences more mediocre talent. You know, you're going to have 9-3s in there from the SEC and the Big Ten. You're going to have, you know, 18-18 teams in the NCAA tournament that only won 5 conference games just because they're from a major conference. You know, watering it down is one thing. I don't know. I don't think number 24, if we have a 24 team playoff, will ever win a national championship. Let's put it that way.
All right, buddy. It's good to talk with you, man. Glad you're doing well. Glad Miss Nancy's doing well. And we're excited for the season. And
good talking to you, fellas.
You too, man.
See you next.
Take care. Brad Nessler.
That's our dude. Remember years ago when we had our Fairly Odds that are new to the show? We've known Brad for years. Great guy. Big thrill to get to know guys you hear on TV all the years. Remember when he had Ric Flair call in for our 5th anniversary?
It's great. And they played the music. And we were like, he's like, I got somebody I want you to talk to. And we're like, because we were on remote.
We couldn't hear the music. And they're playing the Ric Flair intro.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and Rick's like, what's going on?
He's like, who? It's the Nature Boy.
And Ness was like, I set you up with Ric Flair, you nitwits. But anyway, we love Ness.
And he's a great dude. All right, we'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind when we come back. Hey, and the Falcons, what was the theme today at practice? We're going to tell you. Pretty interesting. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, we'll tell you about what's going on with the Falcons and practice today as they get ready to head up to Indy and practice the next couple of days before playing on Saturday in the second preseason game. If you missed our initial conversation at 2 o'clock, where were you, first of all? Show starts at 2. We'll get back into that as well as Mike has some intuition about this season that he wants to share. And the dog report with Connor Riley's coming up here in less than 15 minutes. So stay right there as we'll find out the latest, especially after this first scrimmage. What's the real deal about that? Recruiting is top of mind, and also new sponsors for the dogs. Right now, though, let's find out what's going on with Day-Day and what's on his mind. What's happening, Day-Day?
Hey, man, happy Tuesday to everybody out there.
On a Tuesday.
All right, first off, man, want to say good luck to the Atlanta Dream because they're on the West Coast starting tonight. They open up a 4-game West Coast trip with the Las Vegas Aces. So they're looking to bounce back from their loss.
Tough start.
Their OT loss.
You know when the Dream play the Aces. You know what they say.
What do they say,
no
Mike?
No idea what they say. I don't know what they say.
Good try. So anyway, to tip off tonight at 9 p.m. All right, sad news. Regardless of what you think they have become, still one of the networks that have probably helped grow our sports world, right? ESPN founder Bill Rasmussen passed away today at the age of, I think it was 83. I left that note off. I think I'm 93. I'm sorry, 93. So just wanted to say thoughts and prayers. But again, you know, I know there's so many different back and forths on how people feel about, you know, the different types of shows that are on the network now. But I think we all probably could agree that it furthered our love for sports, being able to, you know, watch the highlight packages, you know, every night and just every morning and all that kind of stuff. So just wanted to put that out there. I don't know if you guys want to add anything.
Yeah, man, like we talked about it. I mean, it's tough because ESPN has gone through some really weird times the last couple of years. But you know, when it first launched, you know, as we said, it was what every sports fan wanted. It also coincided with the launch of cable to major cities around the country, here in the South as well. So yeah, I mean, it was, and you miss all those great anchors when Sports Center was appointment television, and he was the vision behind that. I used to laugh because you and I were joking around about, like, when they were trying to fill the programming at ESPN2, the aerobic shows, Australian rules football. It's becoming a monster. I haven't been up to that campus in years. You were up to that campus, but it's massive.
It is now, and it was back in the day. Yeah, it is. It's like a college campus, to be honest with you. And the thing about it is, man, yeah, Day-Day, I would just simply say that there is a generation, us, that grew up with ESPN, and then there was a generation before us that didn't.
Right.
And their views of sports and how it's become such a part of our culture is just different. Like, it was important. Now it's – and I'll say this. This is the example I'll give. And, Mike, you can relate to this, and anybody that's traveled abroad. When you go overseas, they don't care about it like we do.
Right.
It's not, there are not TVs everywhere. The games are not on all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those deals where when you come to America, everywhere you go.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You could be at a nice restaurant. You could be on a steakhouse. There's TVs and a sports game on, right? And that is been ingrained in our culture because of the presence of ESPN. Love it or hate it,
yeah,
right? And then the growth of obviously the NFL and all of our professional sports, but the growth came along with what was started there.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some hoops news. Hawks GM, assistant GM, I should say, Kyle Korver reportedly leaving the franchise. He's been with the franchise in the front office role for a good while, 4 years?
Yeah.
And it's reported that it's all on good terms. It's nothing bad. In fact, they said he's excited about his next, you know, what he's got to come post NBA playing career. So just want to let people know out there, Kyle Korver will no longer be a part of this franchise.
Is there any word to where he's going?
No, but they said he's excited about, you know, next whenever chapter. He's ever, yeah, the all next right. chapter.
But where's the next chapter?
We don't know.
What's he excited about?
Yeah.
Was he pushed out, Carl? Let's do the yellow journalism.
Well, they
obviously
said it was
a power
good
play
terms.
Down at Hawks headquarters. Korver pushed it. Out the door by Ansi Saleh. They had philosophical differences.
you can stop ask Koonin come Friday.
Yeah, there it is.
This is what Florio. See, this is if Mike and if Carl and Mike did the Jim the Mike Florio show from. That's the way he would do it. Korver has falling out with front office
that's
leaving
right.
Hawks.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of the Hawks, just real quick, we don't have to go too much into this. I just thought it was funny because it just popped up on my timeline. Shout out to Clutch Sports. He's still out there.
Who you talking about?
Jonathan Kuminga.
Kuminga.
You don't say.
There was some stuff about him to the Cavs.
Yeah, this latest report says it looks like he'll. Yeah, well, no, they're saying in this latest report, Lakers, Timberwolves, or Cavs look like where he will end up.
No, he's going to end up playing, guys. He's just going to play for a lot less than what he thought he would.
I just wonder what the conversation was from him and his agent. Because that's where this, in my opinion, that's where this all, like, bro, what did your agent tell you to make you think this was the play? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Look.
You overvalued yourself.
Yeah. I think the Hawks still made the right decision. Ultimately, it gets back to our team, right? And
Jonathan is not helping right now.
No, he's not. But you think, do we feel like we're better than we were?
I mean, I don't know that we ever got an opportunity to really see because he gave us flashes.
Yeah. You never wanted him, Carl.
No. Well, I didn't know.
Never liked him.
I just didn't think that he was what many of you thought he was.
Yeah.
And now it's played out that way. That's all. He's a good basketball player, man. There's no doubt. You don't get into the NBA and you're not.
Right.
But what we thought he was going to bring and what it actually is, and now you're seeing that. Guys, if you're a coveted player around this league, You're not on the market at this far out.
Can I do the two things can be true again?
No. What? Tell me. Because you're killing me with this.
I didn't know you had an aversion to the two things can be true.
Well, I hear it a lot from people who try to be logical about situations when, in fact, you think something is good or you think it's bad.
Well, I mean, two things can be true. He helped us win against the Knicks. He did give us energy, and he brought some real intensity and above-the-rim stuff, which he needed to get the two wins against the Knicks. But then in the losses, he absolutely had no anticipation for what the half-court offense was and was just chucking shots and terrible, terrible shot-making decisions, which took us out of potential runs. So, I mean, and that's probably the same things that aggravated, you know, Steve Kerr and Golden State.
Yeah. Look, we'll never
know. No, he didn't fit. I'm with you. But again, I agree with you. I'm just saying, you never liked him.
No, I just didn't think he was the right fit. Right. Like, I think a lot of basketball cats, I'm not hearing from y'all now, were like, hey, this is what he's going to bring. And he didn't. And the thought was, Mike, sort of like our Penix conversation, we'll bring him back next year. You have a full training camp and a full season to evaluate him. They weren't even willing to do that.
And remember, guys, this isn't like Ansi didn't know him. Ansi knew him in Golden State. Ansi was a part of the brain trust in San Francisco when they drafted him. So who better to know what he really is or what he isn't? He decided to pass.
And I don't wish him any ill will. I hope he ends up somewhere and plays really well. But the bottom line for me was what you thought you were getting. Everybody's like, this is the next thing. He's supposed to be like Jalen's B guy, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean B? Oh, I'm sorry. The other B.
The A and B, the Batman and Robin.
No, I'm sure. I think he was being a B.
I don't think it was a headache. I just did. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead, man. Well, so what else you got, Dave?
All right. Speaking of basketball.
Because you know two things can be true.
They can sometimes. Last one. This.
By the way, you know, I don't really live in gray area. I'm either all in or all out. I mean, you either love or hate something.
I got to be honest. Like this, and I'm not. This generation, they use that phrase a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a very wishy-washy generation.
Am I lying?
No, yeah, they do.
It is. Two things can be true. No.
No.
This is, the sky's blue.
No, it is. I get what Carl's saying. It's a total cop-out for some. But some guys don't have any backbone or balls. They don't make these declarative statements.
Yeah.
All right. The Hollywood drama.
Like I do and you do.
The Hollywood drama continues after the reports of the Buss family selling the remaining 17.8% shares of the Lakers to new majority owners Bob Iger and Mark Kushner. Jeannie Buss's attorney puts out a letter stating that no sale can be effectuated without all three of the trustees, which would be her siblings, Janie and Joey, all signing off on it. All right?
This is the theme from HBO's Succession.
Ramona Shelbourne reports that five of the Buss siblings voted to sell. However, Jeannie Buss did not. Jeannie Buss would no longer be the Lakers governor if this sale was to be completed. And this all, is, the more you read, this looks like it's starting to go all the way back to, and I think, you might have alluded to this, in 2017 when she fired her brother.
Got rid of all of them.
Yeah, her brothers and the
she
one.
She needed
that,
to.
Again, if you read the books about the Lakers, they're basically nitwits. And they kind of, they had some fun with it. Some guys didn't like the way they characterized Jerry West in Winning Time, but basically her brothers were just complete absolute twits.
Yeah, they got,
and
like,
she was the brains of the operation.
Yeah,
they got, she was
jobs,
Michael Corleone. Yeah. They were Alfredo, Oren, right?
Yeah, and then like Buss tried to put him in like scouting positions, and they were kind of effective in that. But for the most part, though, like, they're just living off the name. One thing I did see, which is kind of crazy, they have it's a last man standing provision with their shares. So anytime somebody dies, the shares don't go to their immediate family. They get redistributed back amongst the living family members.
Yeah.
So that might have been some incentive, too, to kind of get ahead of all this stuff, too. But, yeah.
And Shave's taking it in the shorts for getting the reporting wrong. He stands by the story he put out there.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah. Ramona Shelbourne, she really seems to have the right inside track on what's really going on with this situation.
I said this to Mike. Did no one speak to Jeannie?
Right.
How do you run with that? And then
I know
that's my thing.
Yeah,
but
so,
she is the Logan Roy of the family,
basically.
Indeed.
Yeah. Indeed. So that's what's on my mind, guys. We'll keep our eye on that one.
All right, good stuff. And by the way, he's a great actor. Brian Cox is a great actor. Great actor.
You know,
he does the McDonald's commercials too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
All right, man. We're gonna find out what's the latest with the dogs. They have a new big sponsor, and also, is he hurt or is he not hurt? And if he was hurt, what was the extent of the injury?
Hmm.
It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.